Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
I'm Ina Garten. Welcome to Be My Guest, the podcast. One of the best gifts you can give friends is spending time together. But what's even better than that? Cooking with them. On Be My Guest, the podcast, new friends and old stop by my barn for some conversation and great cooking. We talk about food, life, and everything in between. Listen to Be My Guest, the podcast with me, Ina Garten, and join us wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com. Sing, sing, Africa, everybody. Welcome to the Football Ramble. Arsenal beat the crap out of West Ham and Ivory Coast are African champions. It's Monday, 12th of February. I'm Marcus Speller.
I'm Luke Moore.
And I'm Pete Donaldson.
Welcome, everybody, to the Football Ramble.
It's Monday.
I'm happy it's Monday.
You get pleasure out of slamming the weekend shut, that's why.
I think so.
Yeah.
Well, because if you don't do that, then you don't get the weekend again.
Exactly.
It all just merges into one. It's all that, like, I wish it could be Christmas every day kind of guff. No.
Do you sometimes kind of worry that you've opened the window door too hard on Friday, that it will never shut again?
I'm concerned about those in different time zones.
You bent the hinges. You can't close it again. So everyone's partying non-stop.
That's when we have a bank holiday.
Yeah. Mm. That's true, actually. Yeah. When you really come into your own.
Yeah. As you know, bank holidays just appear out of nowhere in the calendar.
Yeah,
I do. And that's when I've just sort of slammed it shut. But you've got to ask yourself, did I mean to slam that shut?
No, you didn't.
Like that.
But if you want the rainbow, you've got to put up the rain.
That's true.
It's Monday through to Friday.
Yeah.
And then the weekend's here. And ironically as well, people love the weekend, but we only do one mailbag show on the Saturday.
Because we give it time to breathe.
We do. Exactly. You know? Like a beautiful bottle of red wine.
And then after the weekend, we're the pick-me-up.
We are.
I'd just say so. What was your highlight of the weekend, Luke Moore?
So I've got two, if you don't mind.
I don't mind, because there's only three of us.
Exactly. the first one's very, very quick. I just wanted to mention the 1,800 in the end, Portsmouth fans.
All right.
Making the 700-mile, 13-hour round trip to Carlisle.
Yeah.
Amazing commitment, and a 1-0 win for their effort as well. Fantastic to see. I mean, 1,800 fans making that length of away trip in League One is pretty incredible. I think we can all agree. I don't get a chance to talk about Portsmouth that much on the show.
Top of League One.
I know.
Reversing up the Pompey Highway.
Mate. They're flying.
They're going to be in the Championship next season.
No, I'm not sure about that.
They're
probably going to get knocked out in the first round of the playoffs. My main highlight, though, is...
Otherwise known as the semi-final.
Exactly. We got the first round. Yeah, because it feels so distant from the final.
We got knocked out of the group stage. No, that's just a league. You didn't qualify for it.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. Group stages again, was it? Yeah. My main highlight, though, and this is absolutely true, and I thought of you guys instantly. I thought I've got to mention this on the show tomorrow. tomorrow. And last night I turned the radio on about about 7:45 at night.
Yeah.
Hoping to listen to the final of AFCON on 5 Live.
Right.
I thought I'll probably watch the game itself on TV, but I want to listen to the build up.
Yeah.
And sadly on 5 Live I was greeted by Turbo Bellend Robbie Savage talking about a particularly powerful brand of absolute shit on the radio. So I flicked over to Talk Sport.
Right.
Thought, oh, maybe they've got it. Maybe 5 Live are doing 6:06, they're not covering it.
Yep.
Maybe Talk Sport have got it.
Right.
Flicked over to Talk Sport, and I shit you not, the moment I flicked over to Talk Sport, the very first thing I heard was Alan Pardew discussing his favourite Janet Jackson album.
There's something for everyone. It's a lovely selection box.
I couldn't believe what I was hearing.
The one where she's nude on the front cover. Alan. We're talking about the music here.
And I have no idea what is happening, but with people out there who heard it as well, let's start some kind of support group about it. But because we saw Alan at the cottage on Saturday,
which was one of my highlights.
We saw Pards, and I just thought to myself, how is he bookending my weekend like that?
Thank goodness there was a continental final.
I know.
After that, because as you say, for that to be the last word on the footballing weekend would have been quite frankly a disgrace.
Did you stick on your favourite afterwards?
Oh yeah, give me a real word. I was on Spotify all night after that.
Yeah. Whatever you do, don't tell us what his favourite one was.
The only thing I can think of is they must have been talking about like Super Bowl halftime show. Or something.
Oh,
maybe. Because it was a Super Bowl that
Don't
night.
Give us a reason for the season.
Yeah, I was going to say. Yeah. Peter, what was your highlight of the weekend?
Noticing Ivan Toney's all new tattoos that missed the first week.
Is that what he's been doing?
He's got... he's had a lot of time off and he's been doing a bit of scribbling.
Yeah.
He's got like a time, I think 11:59 something on his back, on his back of his neck.
Yeah.
And
he loves New Year's Eve, doesn't he?
He's got words written in the shape of and it looks rubbish.
I've seen a couple of them. He's also got a, on his shoulder, have you seen anywhere he's got his shoulder?
Is that what says the him or?
No, it's Captain Tom with a walking frame.
It's a bulldozer heading for a big spark.
Captain Tom. And then the other shoulder, it's got, how am I doing, boss? And it's Captain Tom saying, you're doing fine, son.
Right.
His manager saying, you want to go where?
Yeah.
And the other one's like, Real Madrid.
Yeah.
Barge.
My goodness.
Yeah. What's your highlight, Marcus?
Seeing
Pards at the cottage.
Going to see Fulham win with Luke Moore.
Yeah, here I am.
It was lovely. Okay. Yeah. Great company.
Thank you.
Great company.
Very kind of you.
Yeah.
Looking out for the sting in the tail here.
You didn't pick up a clapper and get involved like the rest of the Fulham fans.
I like to carry myself, despite what you hear on this show, I do occasionally like to carry myself with some semblance of dignity.
But without a doubt, the correct answer is Ivory Coast winning the African Cup.
Ah, come on.
And that's where we go now.
What a scene.
2-1, they beat Nigeria in the final.
Turned it around, didn't they?
Oh, but that's what they do.
Yeah.
The
whole tournament they did that.
I mean, you remember Ancelotti's Real Madrid when they, all those series of comebacks before they then beat Liverpool in the final.
Yeah.
This is like that times 10.
Yeah.
Mm. They won their third Africa Cup of Nations in their history. And the first time the hosts have won it since 2006, when, of course, Ivory Coast were beaten in the final. Bearing in mind, Ivory Coast were beaten 4-0 by Equatorial Guinea 3 weeks ago.
Yeah, and the guy who basically scored, I think, a hat-trick in that game got the golden boot.
Which was amazing for him to come back to the stadium where it happened.
And he looked amazing as well. His outfit was incredible.
Yeah, he was the star of the show, one might say. Yeah. But I love the fact that he came back and everyone's going, who's that guy? And he's like, do you remember me, everybody? Look, it worked out well for both of us,
didn't
it?
Well, I think that, like,
you get your trophy, I get mine.
It sets a precedent for, like, the tournament steward, so to speak. We will, if we fire you in the group stages, we'll do all right.
Well, do you know what, Pete? Because Jean-Louis Gasset was obviously sacked. What was he thinking? Yeah. Did he turn up at there and go, we did it, didn't we?
Do I
get a medal?
He must get a medal, surely.
He'll be there.
Never happened.
Open top bus parade. He'll be there.
He gets like a little car at the back on his own. He must be the most confusing set of emotions.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness, yeah.
Yeah.
It's hard to say it's like a foundation, can you? Like on the shoulders of my work.
Because regardless of how badly it went, he still was responsible for the 3 points they got on the group stage to go through.
He got them through that group.
Yeah, exactly.
He did.
Yeah.
But like, that is it.
Yeah.
But, if it wasn't for the two late goals against Ghana, they'd have been like, went through by the narrowest of margins.
I also think that those of people who stayed up to watch the Super Bowl last night and we're used to seeing the regular cutaways on the Taylor Swift cam.
Right.
It's a massive letdown because anyone who watched the AFCON final, you'd have been seeing cutaways of Kanu, of Drogba, of Kalou all evening.
Yeah. Yeah. To be fair, I don't think they clashed, did they? Time
no, they didn't. But what I'm saying is it's a bit of a letdown. Right. You've already seen the absolute ambassadors of African football.
This is the level of NFL knowledge we have here. I said to Pete and producer, I was like, who won the Super Bowl last night? Finn went, was it on last night?
Yeah, because that's brilliant because there's loads of marketing presentations out there saying that British people love the Super Bowl now. And they do to an extent.
As always,
I
want a bit of balance.
Pete's very dismissive of NFL.
No, I'm not.
He was one of the marketers before the show. He's very
It's okay not to like something.
I genuinely don't have any strong feelings. It happens. It doesn't need my help.
I mean, it's a clearly very wealthy.
You said that about the Ramble.
I'm popping my head around the door. I'm going, anybody need any help? No?
Yeah.
All right, can I have a look at that little computer you guys have and the managers and stuff?
Oh, yeah, little Microsoft Surface.
Little sidekick, whatever
you call it. There were some funny plays, wasn't there? Pete's upset plays.
I very much enjoyed, speaking of cutaways to the crowd, I very much enjoyed my favourite First Lady of African countries, I guess. Okay. Over
just say Africa.
This is going to be interesting.
I was going to say African football. She's not really in football, but...
The President's wife.
Dominique Ouattara. Ivory Coast's partner, who is looks about 40 and she's inexplicably 70. But my highlight was remembering that she did do a photo shoot with a child, Serene Latifah, dressed as her with wig. Well worth checking out. Give
like
it a
that.
Google.
Yeah, I like that.
A little lady, a little girl dressed like a 70-year-old lady. It's brilliant.
It is brilliant. I think she's Algerian, if I'm correct.
I don't know where she's from, but right, okay.
But she's married to the president of Ivory Coast, of course, who is a year older than Big Joe Biden.
Yeah, and looks every day of that.
He made sure he got in the photos, didn't he?
Oh, yeah.
But it's interesting, though. We're talking about Ivorian politics, something
let's
that
do
we're,
the
all,
game.
We're all well Again. Qualified to talk
yeah,
about.
Yeah, let's do the game.
But I'd rather talk about Ivorian politics than the NFL. I'm completely honest with
myself. Or British politics.
Yeah. Or British politics.
But, I mean, it is an interesting one. You know, as I say, the man whose stuff you should all read around African combinations, of course, Jonathan Wilson, he was there. And he talks about a bit of controversy. They spent... estimated about £1 billion on this tournament.
Stadium looked good.
Well, a bit of infrastructure and so on, and they think, is it worth it?
This is never is. Well, never is.
Yeah, and obviously Ivory Coast, civil war only 13 years ago, and there's conflicts and all sorts. And by the way, Didier Drogba sometimes doesn't get credit in this country for doing a lot of philanthropic work out in Ivory Coast, and also very political, like trying to build bridges, quite frankly, frankly speaking.
Like he did at the top line of Chelsea.
I think
I might have the book wrong, but I hope I don't. I read it years ago. It's a book called Africa United by Steve Bloomfield.
Right.
And it's the subtitle of it is How Football Explains Africa. And I think if it's the book I'm thinking of, Drogba comes away with an enormous amount of credit.
And he should do. And it was his team.
Because it's about unifying the different religious factions in different parts of the country. And
that's
stuff
right.
Like
and
that,
have been incredibly fractious over the years. As we say, it was only 13 years ago when the Civil War kind of ended. And it's not been completely peaceful since then. But the fact is that this Ivory Coast team, they did play in what was the former capital of the sort of the rebel territory, in this run to the final. And I think there has been, and again, it's just football. You know, I said this when Argentina won the World Cup. That won't have any effect on inflation in Argentina, which is currently like 100% or over 100%.
Well, generally speaking, the countries don't tend to bid for these big events so much now because it's an absolute money
fallacy.
But today, though, Ivory Coast will feel more united than it's ever been in goodness knows how long.
And it was a great turnaround by them because obviously they went down to a pretty good strong header by William Troost Ekong.
What a header it was.
I think he got awarded the player of the tournament, didn't he?
He's been brilliant.
Ex-Watford as well.
As you said, he absolutely dinner moneyed Sergio.
And that's
as soon as that ball went up in the air and you saw him look at it, you thought, unless you're asking the crossbar to do Ivory Coast a favour there.
If you're good at heading the ball and you're a big strong lad, you want to be up against a fullback.
Yeah,
because fullbacks, I mean, despite the fact they've got a completely different role now, they're just not traditionally big strong guys.
But it's a tricky one because he's got the run on him.
He has, of course.
And the leap and buff and you were concerned, but of course with the pedigree Ivory Coast have shown in the knockouts very much since Emerson Faye has been in charge. Mm. They don't know when they're beaten. They've just been. It's been incredible. It's been a wonderful tournament, and as I say, I said on was it Friday, you had two of the heavyweights in the final. Because Ivory Coast were fancied before the tournament, as you would imagine.
Home nation, a lot of good players.
Yeah, and very close to buggering it all up, but they got through there. But the way they came back, and they were the better side. All the stats showed it, much more possession, much more shots. They were brilliant. And Nigeria did sort of understandably think, let's be solid. And Nigeria, they were a little bit, obviously didn't win the tournament, but a little bit France 2018, but without a 4-3 against Argentina, if you will, in there. Mm. It was like, let's be quite machine-like and let's do it and let our quality show. And I totally get that. But when you hear that the manager, José Peixeiro, was once described as my best friend in football by José Mourinho, you think, yeah, I'm glad he lost.
Yeah, still waters run deep.
Although Mourinho wasn't there.
No.
And he's not got a lot on at the moment.
No, he should have been.
Get and support your mate.
He should have been down there. I mean,
dress up as an Ivorian first lady. Yeah. That would be so confusing.
Yeah. A very disrespectful one, might say as well.
And every time someone asks you why you do it, just say, I prefer not to speak.
If I speak, I'm in trouble. Yeah, but it wouldn't be the top 10 worst things he's done.
What about a word for Sebastien Haller?
We've got to
give him a word. More than a word.
It was incredible, wasn't it? Diagnosed with testicular cancer, of course, in July 2022 after signing for Dortmund, undergoing two surgeries and a number of cycles of chemotherapy.
Very efficient. Like, you know, a year and a half and you're like, right, I'm scared.
Yeah, I'm winning the African combinations. I mean, he's not even playing that much for Dortmund at the moment or doing too well. But I mean, that obviously pales into the significance of what we just said. The fact is, you know, without being sort of too cliched about it, the mere fact that he recovers and then gets back on a football pitch isn't a victory in itself. But to score the winning goal...
Deft little touch as well.
Oh, it was Ricardo Muniz.
It was a bit. Do you think he meant that or do you think he's just trying to get anything on it?
Well, but the two go hand in hand.
Yeah.
It's a bit like if you rifle one in, it's a volley and you smash it as hard as you can. Obviously, you're aiming for a part of the goal where the goalkeeper's going to struggle. But, I mean, did you mean to hit it in off the bar or perfectly in the top corner? Yeah. Well, the fact is it went in there.
It's about margins.
But it was glorious. And I think for him, you know, it was almost a bit of a tale of two strikers, actually, with Haller and with Osimhen. Now, Osimhen's one of the best or top strikers, we could say best or top strikers in world football right now. And Nigeria, obviously very keen for him to be in the side. But, I mean, when he injured himself, he was hobbling around the park. And at times, they've really rushed him back. And you understand why. You know, if Kane was injured for England, you know, a 70% fit Kane, you know, we'd be like, well, we'll stick it. He's got to stay on anyway. So you get that. Whereas Haller wasn't really present too much in the group stages due to injury. He was brought back in there. He made a difference when he came on in one or two of the knockout rounds. So for him to be really their main striker, to get that goal and to play the whole game was wonderful. You saw the celebrations as well. Because, again, the pressure that they feel, you know, obviously players in this country and other European countries have pressure, but when you're a big star who plays in European football, I think the kind of pressure and the kind of expectation on you is something, again, we can't really, really kind of understand here.
Yeah, definitely.
For obvious reasons. Yeah. And you know, Colo Touré was talking about that on the BBC, of course.
Nice to see Colo back.
It was, wasn't it?
It is.
Bit of time off posing to be an estate agent. Is that what he did? Is that Colo?
Yeah, he was.
Remember the photo of him behind the shower curtain?
Having a peek around, yeah.
Great stuff. Yeah. Talking about his favourite Janet Jackson album.
Singing it in the shower.
Yeah.
Oh, dear.
It's all for you. That's what he was doing.
Well, you're loving it, though. When Nigeria scored, you saw Nwankwo Kanu celebrating.
Yeah, that's great.
It was.
Yeah.
That was nice.
Because he is starting to look quite old now.
Yeah. What, he must be, what, 45 now?
He got wheeled away from the FA Cup final in the wheelchair. That's all you need to know.
My goodness.
Legend.
After
legend
scoring the winner in that game.
Exactly, legend of the game.
But what was really lovely was Didier Drogba, the kind of vibe he had was as if he was the president of the country. The way they kept going to him and then, you know, it was
wonderful. It was a wonderful end to a brilliant tournament.
Mm. Yeah.
A lot of drama. It's good to see Romain Williams pick up his award and save a couple more penalties in the third place.
But
redeem himself in some small way. It was just great stuff all around. What I didn't like, I found particularly unedifying that, you know, did you see the point where I think it's the head of African football, the Ivorian president, and Infantino all holding the trophy together to be a part of the
photo?
It's just like so needy and pathetic.
But you know what, though?
He's an absolute fucking prick, Infantino.
He is.
He's a total prick.
I wonder, though, if this is maybe a clash of sort of cultures or regions or whatever, because in Europe, and I would hope that we were united on that for a change, that we look at that in Infantino, it's just like, let them do the trophy. But I wonder if in other parts of the world, like, my goodness, the head of FIFA's here and he's involved in presenting the trophy and it gives it a bit more gravitas. It's very easy to have a European lens on these things.
Or more likely, Infantino's probably saying, I can get away with a lot more here than I can get away with in Europe, so I'll do whatever I want.
I'm not talking about... look, you know what I think of that wanker.
Yeah.
But he is the man who has, was it Infantino, or I think it was Infantino, who's basically made sure that Africa have more, the World Cup's now bigger and they have more places at the World Cup.
Yeah.
So again, but he may well be seen as...
But what's wrong with just being dignified about it and saying, saying thank this you very much for us. That, but this is about the footballers who've won the trophy.
It was when he brought out Salt Bae, that was taking the piss.
Thank you very much for this, but the Ivorian country have spent £1 billion here, so maybe they get to do the 5 second thing of giving the trophy
over. Don't worry, the president got his photos with the team.
I also, massive. I also want that trophy to be bigger.
Yeah.
It's a nice great trophy, but it's not big enough. It needs to be bigger.
I mean, look to the Asian Cup for me, and we're going to come on and briefly talk about it. I think that's a better cup, if I'm completely honest.
I quite like the African Cup.
There's probably a bit of inflation when it comes to trophy sizes happening. Everything's getting bigger and bolder and all the rest of it. I just think it's a great design of trophy.
Yep. Yeah.
I particularly like the top scorer trophy as well, the way it was styled. Mm. But I think the design is good, but the size isn't...
It's similar to World Cup size.
It's not commensurate. I think it's smaller than the World Cup.
It's quality, not quantity.
Possibly. Mm. Possibly.
Yeah.
That's what they'll say.
In the Asian Cup, Qatar won. Retaining
again,
the trophy.
Again, yeah.
Because people sort of think, oh, yeah, but they won it in 2019. They got
it's
a
legacy of that World Cup.
Yeah, they didn't obviously... Yeah, the World Cup might be the forgotten tournament in between these two.
I hated the celebration that Akram Afif did. Mm. I hated it.
He did a magic trick.
He
pulled a deck of cards out of his sock.
I think he pulled one card.
Oh, was it one card?
I think it was a picture of himself, was it?
Right.
It was like a sort of trading card of himself, was it? And then he flicked something and, you know, he's...
He does look like the Queen of Hearts, though, doesn't he?
you know how I feel about people buying tricks off the internet? Because like most magicians who do tricks and stuff, they just buy shit off the internet and they just do it and they practice with it, fine. But they didn't make that magic trick, did they?
No.
So that's what I find offensive.
It's one of the weirdest heels you've died on yet, I'd say.
That was a magic trick. Yeah, but, I mean, I would say that, like, by the time it got to the third penalty in this match, I was like, Gordon Ramsay, finally some good fucking food. Because the first two, this wasn't much in them, was there, really?
I mean, the moment I switched on to the Super Bowl last night, apparently the crowd booed because Ramsay was on the screen there.
Was he?
Was he?
A little bit,
But the stones of obviously the opening strike, the opening penalty, it was very savable. Mm. It was a shitty run up. It was hardly any contact on the penalty, and it's 20 minutes in, the Stones to do the magic trick then.
I know.
Bearing in mind, you know, that he could have had a few more chances.
It's a bit like when Douglas Luiz shaked his boobs at the crowd when he scores, which we'll come on to, I'm sure, but like, it's a bit premature for that.
Exactly.
It's a whole Neil Mopai thing all over again.
Yeah.
Stop doing premature celebrations. You've got a pre-designed one that's actually really impactful, do it at the end.
I don't think it was that pre-designed. I think it was just in the moment.
It was a real...
What, he put a card in his sock?
No, Douglas Luiz.
Oh, right. I'm not sure if he got it out of his sock. He sort of pointed to the crowd, so I didn't see... I think he pointed to somebody, so maybe somebody in the crowd sort of gave him it. I don't know.
Gentlemen, let us go to the Premier League.
West Ham fans were hoping we'd run out of time.
Oh, they were thinking, this is amazing.
This is
fine. West Ham United 0, Arsenal 6. West Ham's joint heaviest home defeat in the league in their history. And Arsenal's biggest Premier League away win.
It's just good that West Ham have got a really defensive manager who knows how to set up a team, isn't it?
They also, the fans took it well.
Leaving at half-time.
Both in the stadium and on Twitter.
You would be leaving at half-time.
It was so
exactly
funny because I inadvertently started a big debate on Twitter with some people who follow me about...
Inadvertently.
Debate.
There was a poll.
I went into a nightclub with throwing elbows and I started a debate.
I just wanted to broaden the debate.
I'll
tell you, let me give it some context because they were arguing between themselves about whether the booing of Declan Rice from the first minute was ironic or not.
Right.
That's fair, isn't it?
I thought, everything I know about the West Ham fans I know means it's probably not
the
ironic.
The thing is, with ironic humour, right, often the tone of someone's voice is key to the irony, right? Boo.
Fucking boo.
Boo. Yeah, see, again, the tone of a boo is...
Al Murray plays the O2, so...
Yeah, that's true. That is true.
They're not all ironic, are they?
He's a beautiful British comedian.
He's a beautiful British
comedian. He can't control who buys the tickets, to be fair to him.
No. Yeah, you can change your act.
All right.
He does podcasts now.
He does.
Yeah. We enjoyed him, the performance of his.
Nice fella.
We did. Nice fella.
Yeah. He asked Luke what he did for a living, and Luke told him he was a postman.
Yeah, I just couldn't be asked to get into it.
I thought it was a really good move.
The postman thing I said to him was because he can't slag that off.
Yeah.
Right.
Because if I say, I'll do fucking podcast, I'm toast.
He'll have some Royal Mail equipment.
No,
won't
but you can't
he
slag off
He wasn't in
postman.
Full character, though, was he?
But the thing is, you can't slag off yeah. or diminish working traditional working class jobs that are really important. So that's why I did it.
Hang on, you cosplayed as a commoner.
For about 10 seconds.
For the sake of not being
a commoner.
Pillory.
I cosplay as a postman.
You were a commoner.
I had a paper round.
I think full credit to you there, Luke, because I remember being very joyous with that. With Luke.
I would have said porn star.
Fucking hell. He didn't believe you as well. With what you're wearing today.
No further questions.
No, exactly.
I'll leave
obviously
that
you are. Sorry, I don't know why I asked.
Yeah, indeed.
I'm wearing a woolen suit.
Yeah, I know you are.
That's not wiped clean, is it? Come on.
No,
carry on.
That's true. But West Ham haven't won since they beat Arsenal 2-0 in December.
I mean, to be absolutely fair,
yeah,
this is going to cost David Moyes' job.
West Ham were appalling.
It was
appallingly bad.
It was the Saka goal where he cut in and just rifled the ball home, where Areola looked as if to say, well obviously he's going to score. I mean, he just wrong footed. But it's the body language. So.
It was that 15-minute period before half-time.
Yeah, there was that.
It was so bad.
Yeah,
I'm surprised Southgate didn't leave at half-time.
That'd have been funny. Yeah, I've got all I want out of this. But when Saka scores that goal, again, the damage is well and truly done before then. But
his goal, obviously, the first one was a penalty, wasn't it?
Yes, of course, yeah, his second goal. Again, it's the body language. It's everything. You know, look, Saka can cut inside and rifle one into the corner against you, okay? There's no...
Yeah, that happens.
There's
yeah.
no shame
There's no
on that. One of the best players in the league does that. But when he does that, it did. I mean, I wouldn't even say it's training ground, because if that happens on the training ground, you'd be saying, come on, lads, do you want to play on Saturday or not?
Yeah.
It was so
Sunday,
bad.
To be fair.
Fine.
Yeah.
It was so bad. That
yeah,
they,
it was terrible,
they really
yeah.
did down tools there.
Yeah.
And very worrying. Mm. And I understand it must be very difficult if you're in that type of game. When you are getting absolutely pumped by a side who are playing great stuff and are really like almost like starting their march now for
yeah,
the title.
I think, yeah.
But still, there's no excuse.
You can be outplayed by Arsenal. They're a good team. We know that. But the thing is, they were totally outbullied by them.
But it was
great that the office of both the centre-back scored goals, you know, from like kind of penalty area situations. Mm. You know, Odegaard and Rice particularly had to run on the pitch. They didn't make it tough for Saka.
A lot of idling around like just outside their own box and stuff. And you can sort of look at something like, you can sort of blame injuries for players not looking their best. But at the end of the day, David Moyes has to build a team and he has to build a squad and he hasn't done that.
Point,
he doesn't have any alternatives.
And my point, about the whole Declan Rice thing is, like, we all know what West Ham fans can be like. Mm. So it's quite hard for me to believe straight off the bat they've all turned to some kind of collective Seinfeld type character.
Some were saying
in their ironic booing.
Well, was it? I mean, was it maybe even Arteta himself? But somebody was saying that there were some fans clapping Rice when he was going over to take a corner.
No, so to be fair, when he scored, there were cut to the crowd, the ones that were still there. There were quite a lot of people kind of clapping, going, great goal kind of thing.
I'm sure that it would be, I know we often talk about minorities in fans and so
fucking
on.
Fucking me left, boo him. I don't care.
I don't care either.
I don't think it's a big thing. He did that apologetic celebration, which really has come back into fashion.
You can almost excuse it. He came through the academy.
No.
He's the captain of the team.
Yeah, but again, it's the apology of it. It's no, you've meant to do that. You wanted to score. You want the team you currently play for to beat your old team. Do you know why? Because you've been paid to do it. And that shows you're a professional. Don't apologise. Don't celebrate. That's different. Mm. With being
quick handshake, run back to the halfway line.
Exactly. Yeah. It's hands up apology. It's
are you
bollocks.
Allowed a fist, but are you allowed a fist like yes?
Yeah, I think you do.
Are you allowed a little fist?
Do one that you go to the up to, but not over the limit of acceptability with your fist pump.
Hang on.
Here we go.
So let's see what's acceptable and what isn't. Right. Because I think you do
He's
have to
taking
get this
his blazer off.
You cut this down, Finn, for the audio bit.
Yeah. So you've tucked your hands into your jumper.
Yeah.
Okay.
Hang on.
What's going on?
So you score.
Hang on. Yeah.
Right.
I think that might look like a piss take.
Got all four corners of the stage. Just give it that.
Yeah.
Punch. And then that.
You're going to have to follow us on socials if you want to get the full
picture of Pete's. Yeah. And what club are you doing that to? Newcastle.
I'm playing with Sunderland.
After an own goal.
Yeah, after an own
goal. Surely it'll be a third round tie against Hartlepool United after you've gone 5-0 up.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. It relegates the club.
Mm. inexplicably from the FA Cup.
People can't believe it.
It was they needed the money. They needed the money for the replay.
No, you put them out of business. It's not relegated.
So you're celebrating in each four corners because you've put Hartlepool and Newcastle out of business at the same time.
Yeah.
And have you wet your pants at the same time?
I don't know, that's just something I choose to do anyway.
Yeah, you just wet your pants.
Less fluid to carry around the pitch.
True.
What a genius.
Good point. Dehydrated when you're playing football.
Once again, a step ahead of everybody. Yeah. What about David Moyes? At the time of recording, he's still West Ham manager. I don't think
he will be by the end of the...
No, I don't, Peter. I think that he'll still be there come the end of the season.
Right.
I don't think this will cost him his job. Mm. I understand that is a damning loss, but I think that's more on the players than Moyes. Because that, I know Moyes says is a cliche thing, and I'm not saying Moyes should be there beyond the summer. Again, we had that debate about Moyes at West Ham, and I totally understand why some of the fans don't like the football they're playing and so on. But they are still, despite that, in a healthy league position. They're still, in European football. So I don't think, and I'm trying to think this from the owner's perspective, I don't think he'll be sacked. Well, these words could be clipped and used against me in about 3 hours' time.
But the owners have got to take their share of responsibility because they're still in the situation where Moyes has got a few months left in his contract. Mm. There's no clarity about what's happening.
Yeah.
So I don't think that's the reason they got whopped at home to Arsenal. But at the same time, the leadership and the clarity of vision does come from the top.
Yeah.
And this saga around Moyes' contract has been going on for months. Mm. And what it looks to me like,
figure's getting dialed down by the second, isn't it?
You could interpret this as going, well, maybe they're just happy for him to be a custodian for the rest of the season, and then they're going to stay in the league, and they'll see what's going to happen in the summer. Mm. But if that's the case, they've down tools. So why wouldn't the players down tools?
Well, but I'm saying that's what I expect to happen. I don't think it's not a Palace and Hodgson situation.
No, but it's about the impression the board are given. It's an indecisive situation that they're overseeing. So if they're going to be indecisive...
It's been like five matches they've been playing really poorly, and that's a
and they've lost key players
season,
as well.
Yeah.
And they didn't strengthen in January, did they?
Yeah, indeed. I mean... But
that's why they're playing so many players out of position.
They haven't won this year.
But let's have a quick word on Arsenal, though, because Arsenal of late have been playing some great stuff. That win against Liverpool obviously got them going. This is a huge victory. And what really is, it is important because there's 2 points separates them from Liverpool and Man City in there, of course, is goal difference could be a factor here.
That brings them up to almost parity with them, yeah.
Exactly. So it's a huge win. They've won four on the bounce now. And if they are hitting form, which it appears they are, it's the right time to do it.
Definitely.
We're now sort of approaching mid-February. Arsenal, I think, they are ramping it up now. They look, and another thing as well, they look great on set pieces. So if you're good on set pieces, you've always got a chance. So I find this very intriguing. Arsenal are well and truly in the title race, whereas maybe just a handful of games ago when they were beaten by Fulham, we watched that game and it was a very, very abject performance for Arsenal.
It was, yeah.
You think, oh, are they dropping off now? Are they going to have to kind of battle it out for, say, third, which obviously, they're not too worried about Spurs and Villa at the moment. But now they're right in it.
And the fixture that sticks out to me for a couple of reasons is the one on the 31st of March against Man City away.
Yeah.
Because obviously last season when they had their almost unexpected tilt at the title, it came unstuck for them against Manchester City, didn't it? And it'll be interesting to see what they've learned from that and if they are improved from last year. Because to me, obviously speaking of clipping things up and it coming back to haunt you, I think they'll come up just short again. But it will be a fascinating insight to see how they've learned from the disappointment of last season. And that game seems like the one that they'll have to do it in. I mean, you look at the other games they've got ahead of that. They've got like Chelsea at home, but you'd expect them to win that. They've got Newcastle at home. I'll be at that game. I'm going to go and watch that one, and I think they'll win that as well. So
look out for Luke if you go into that one.
Yeah, maybe it won't be the highlight of the evening because I think it's a Saturday night game. Mm. I will be maybe one of the warm up kind of nice little punctuations to witness while you're at the game. I saw Luke from the Ramble at the game on Saturday.
Yeah,
people go, who's Luke? Don't know. Fat guy on the podcast, and that's a conversational starter, isn't it?
Exactly,
it's an icebreaker for you your dinner party in the North London area.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. What more do you want, everybody?
Yeah.
All right, coming up in the second half, we have Manchester United, Sheffield United, and Kevin Keegan. See you in a moment.
I'm I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
This episode of the Football Ramble is sponsored by BetterHelp. Life throws many different challenges at us, and as a result, we all have our own sources of stress. Whether big or small, those stressors can impact our lives in unpredictable ways, and if we don't address them, they can have an outsized and unwanted impact. Therapy is a safe place in which we can address these issues, learn to understand them, and find ways to work through them. Having therapy can be beneficial to anybody, not just people who've experienced major traumas, even if you may have not considered it before. It could be simply a time for you to get things off your chest, a way to learn positive coping skills, or how to set boundaries. Ultimately, it can be whatever you need it to be. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. All you have to do is fill out a brief questionnaire and BetterHelp will match you to a licensed therapist. You can even switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
Human beings sometimes need to get punished.
Sometimes human beings need to be punished. Oh, Jürgen, we will miss you.
Yeah.
But presumably he'll still be doing that well into later life. Yeah. Thanks to friend of the Ramble, Alex, for choosing that clip. You can become a friend of the Ramble too by heading over to patreon.com/footballramble, as well as getting every single episode of the Football Ramble on the continent and up front completely ad-free. You'll also have access to the Football Ramble Discord, where you can chat with fellow Ramblers.
And with me, I'm always on there.
Yes, we actually had a glowing review on Friday from new patron subscriber Alex, who said, "My friend of the Ramble content starts with the Nations League. WTF.
Yeah, no, get used to it, mate. Get used to it. More that came from.
Yeah, so as I say, head to patreon.com/footballramble for more of that juicy content.
All right, then. We've got a message, guys.
Oh, no.
An email.
Is it a bill?
Pete's reading it makes me think, what is this about?
Good point, actually. From George Young. Thank you, George. What ho, Ramblers? I know I'm probably rising the bait after your gentle mocking of Keegan's upcoming appearance in the Scunthorpe car showroom, but I don't know if people realise that he's actually helping out a club, which is in a really sticky situation at the moment. Our last but one owner took us out of the Football League after 70 years, a decade after we were playing and beating Newcastle in the Championship. He then took sole ownership of our ground before selling the club to someone who ran up even more debts before announcing he would withdraw all funding from the club. We were very fortunate to have been rescued 4 months ago by a local consortium led by the wonderful Michelle Hannes, who are working wonders to turn around a situation where we were over £1 million in debt and didn't own our own ground. The use of the car showroom for Keegan's talk has been donated by one of the club's directors to save on the cost of hiring a venue, so that more of the proceeds go to SUFC. The club is still under transfer embargo due to legacy debts, and the time that Keegan is giving up will go a long way to helping get us back on an even keel. I know you all love Keegan, really. I just want to highlight how grateful Iron fans are that he's helping us in such a difficult time, and to remind everyone of how the pitiful regulation of football allows rogue owners to destroy community clubs with proud histories. Up the iron, down with the tyrants, and forts a ramble.
Thank you very much for emailing in and painstakingly letting us know, because essentially most people on X, formerly known as Twitter, it was just abuse. Don't you know this? Don't you know that?
Right.
So it's good to know. We didn't know that before. How we didn't know why Kevin was doing it.
Yeah.
And to be honest, Kevin's been a bit weird lately.
We just see Kevin Keegan doing something funny and just talk about it. That's how it goes.
Yeah.
It's good to get the clarification.
Indeed it is. So credit to Keegan and all the best to Scunthorpe as well.
Absolutely.
The last thing you want is football clubs to be going through all that nonsense.
And Reading.
I looked him up over the weekend when I heard about it, and they've got a manager called Jimmy Dean.
Ooh,
which is very interesting. Yeah. Very happy with that.
Yeah. He can't be calling himself James Dean, can he?
Yeah, but people do sometimes refer to James Dean as Jimmy Dean.
I know.
So I hope he looks good, because otherwise he'll be able to let down.
I hope he looks good.
Anytime
and if not, I hope he tastes good.
Aston Villa 1, Manchester United 2.
Would that taste good to you, Pete, that result?
It depends on whether Marcus is going to mention a certain defender in the next sentence.
But we know your hatred for Aston Villa and all of Birmingham.
So naturally I enjoyed this one.
Yeah. I had to smuggle you out the venue when we did a Birmingham live show that time.
What are Aston Villa doing?
They're having a bit. I mean,
it's such an unwelcome time to really lose form.
Yeah, they're falling away in the title race, aren't they? Emery was pleased with the result, not the result. He wasn't pleased with the result. He was pleased with the performance. Because on another day they don't lose that game, quite frankly. But when
play it then.
Yeah. But when you have a player like Harry Maguire at the back, who of course was player of the match, it's very difficult, of course, to break down that defence.
I don't see how he can be player of the match when Man United gave up so many chances.
Mm. It's not his fault.
Who's deciding that, though? You deciding that?
Look, I didn't decide who player
on
of the match
was. On another
day,
Villa scored about six goals. United gave up so many chances. It's unbelievable.
How do players in the match actually sort of get man of the match get sort of sorted?
On
is
how
it
good
kind
they
of
were.
Like, is it the broadcasters?
So Gary Neville scribbles it down on a piece of paper.
But is that, do different broadcasters have different man of the matches?
Opta do a different one. So
person of the matches.
So Opta's one would generally be different.
On stats. It'd be literally based in fact.
So I'm looking at it now. The Opta stats, the Opta man of the match for the Man United, Aston Villa Man United game was actually given to Diogo Dalo.
Well, let's keep that one then.
Okay.
Because that's based in fact.
Well, I can remember back in.
Not just vibe.
Back in the 90s, I don't know if you guys remember this, Marcus, you'll definitely remember it. They used to let the viewers vote.
That's right.
Oh, yes.
And it used to be Jamie Redknapp every week.
Well, they used to do that for England as well until Joe Hart was given man of the match when England beat San Marino like 6-0 or something. All right, you can't be trusted, can you?
Yeah.
Okay, so you've got four candidates.
You sound really upset.
And before we know it, it's Brexit's happened.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Well, that's what I mean.
Don't give people a voice.
Exactly.
Boy McBoatface. I'll start with that.
All right, that was
Blue Peter Dog.
Okay, it's mixed bag.
Be a dictatorship under Pete Donaldson. That's
correct.
What you want.
Yeah.
Okay. Well,
it'll be unsettling, but ultimately Pete's a good person.
Think of the statues, though.
Yeah, exactly.
That'd be graphic.
Pete did say on Friday's show that everything is depressing.
I know.
Yeah,
he believes that.
Let's make it worse.
Pete's the most nihilistic man I know.
Let's make it worse. Yeah. Is that your campaign there, Barrett? Pete Donaldson, let's make it worse.
Let's make it shitter.
But on this game, it's difficult to know whether the wheels are fully coming off Villa, because they've only won one game this year. And as you've said, it's a terrible time to be losing your form. And it looks like, I said on Friday, we'll find out a lot this weekend about whether Aston Villa are going to get back on an even keel, because their home record have been so good, then they've lost one or two at home.
But that performance doesn't look like it's...
It was fine. That's what I'm trying to say. Yeah. I'm not trying to have a dig at Harry Maguire or you or whatever. I'm actually just making the point that on another day, Aston Villa win that game because they had so many chances.
And Arna was on good form.
He was
as
on
well.
Great form.
Yeah. I mean, Watkins will be disappointed he didn't score.
That save from McGinn made, and that save from Watkins was amazing.
Yeah. But ultimately they've lost the game. But this can happen. I mean, again, Villa are having a very good season. Let's not be silly. They're fifth. They're a point off fourth spot. So obviously they would have taken that. Blah 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 blah. But it's also a touch disappointing how well they've been. But inevitably, if you look at some of the squads and some of the teams around them, it's very very difficult to keep pace. And when they come up against a team who have got Rasmus Højlund in form.
He's been great for him, hasn't he?
Then what can you do? He scored again, Peter.
I'm very happy it happened. I don't endorse a piggyback.
Right.
Dangerous.
Dangerous. What think of the player's knees?
The thing I like about Rasmus Højlund is how uncool he is. Because you think he's young and he's a professional football player for Man United and so he's automatically going to be cool.
Danes are quite cool, I think.
Exactly, but he's very, very uncool.
Literally. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
But not freezing like not some freezing. Of their neighbours to the yeah. north.
Good point.
yeah, yeah, yeah.
Would it be Erik ten Hag's, one of his great victories has been resurrecting Scott McTominay's career? Because, like, he's just coming on, knocking him in.
Hang on, whoa. Resurrecting?
He was on the transfer list.
Wasn't he not player of the season?
He was out the door.
Jose Mourinho.
How long ago was that?
Having played 5 league games. Remember that? Yeah, remember when Marina did that? Yeah. It's super.
What I also love about Man United is like, almost like it feels like it's a false position, but actually if the results go their way next Premier League round, they could be well in touch with the top four.
But Man United though.
But listen to this. The goal difference of the top six clubs.
It's ridiculous. Right? Top seven.
Liverpool plus 32, Man City plus 31, Arsenal plus 31, Tottenham plus 15, Aston Villa plus 18, Newcastle in seventh plus 12, Man United zero.
That's superb, isn't it? Yeah, Manchester United though, it is the classic thing of, we're looking at the badge, you know, you see a game like this, Man United are back, you know, yeah. like we've stopped all that chat, of course, but you are looking at the badge, they're sixth. And at the moment, yeah, that's probably about
Get
right.
Get the badge in.
Yeah, don't forget that you've got
it's
to play
It's the first
the
time under Ten Hag they've won away at a top team, apparently.
Yeah, well, as they put it on, I think it was Sky Sports News, a top nine side in the league.
It's just convenient, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's very convenient.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But it was a very good win from their point of view as well. And McTominay, again, you know, talk about Hoyland, doing among the goals and so on. McTominay, he just has that knack about him. It was a beautiful ball in from Darlow as well, asking to be put in. And McSauce was there.
McSauce. McDominate.
Yeah, exactly. Now, Manchester United, apparently the Glazers want the players to start wearing augmented reality cameras, which would allow fans to watch games from the players' perspectives.
it's a must-buy app for the Apple Vision generation.
Yeah.
If I was a decision maker at Man United, I'd be calling them up today going, are you fucking... Look, we never hear from you. You never say anything.
Yeah.
And the moment and I see I've got a little message from you, I think, oh, is it transfer funds for the summer? Is it an upgrade to Old Trafford? You want to do what?
Yeah. And you say augmented reality camera. The camera is just a camera. Yeah. The augmented reality happens somewhere down the workflow.
I would like you to
be specific about what cameras you want on the place.
I'd like him to augment this reality out of his skull, to be honest. That skull he's got. That's your first port of call.
That is the first
port. Get rid of the skull.
Maybe in augmented reality, he has a full top hair. Hair top.
He's a skulleted fiend.
He's a skulleted fiend. He
he's
is,
absolute
yeah.
He's a skulleted fiend. There's no doubt about it.
Yeah, he's fiendish.
He looks like an out of work magician.
In work.
You're never
magician.
Out of work. Yeah,
but when he true, turns up, yeah, when he turns work. Up, he you go, you don't want that.
Nah.
Bit like, although actually, when I was once upon a time, I was in Cuba.
Yeah.
And there was we were eating in this hotel restaurant, and there was a waiter who was going around doing some magic tricks and stuff. And we saw him do this at a table, and suddenly people were like all a bit shocked, and we were like, what's going on there? My mate and I were sat there, and he came over, and he was like doing this little dance and being all kind of magic-y about it. Yeah. And he opened up my hand and put something in my hand like that, and then sort of took a step back, and then as if to say, now open your hand. And as I opened my hand, a sponge penis just went bomb. I see.
It's great stuff.
Magnificent.
Yeah. It's great Brilliant. Stuff.
Yeah,
that's what Joel could be doing.
He knew his audience, and I'm telling you, that's basically what the Glazers have done there.
If he's not wasting his time buying Man United, he could be having a great time doing that.
Sponge penises in Cuba.
Give him a sponge penis. Give every Man United player a sponge penis. Exactly. There's a list, go, I'll pop it out.
Is that a sponge penis, or you just need to see me? Yeah.
You know when to pop it in someone's hand, you'll get a laugh, I'll tell you. Right.
By the way, sponge penis.
Oh dear, what have I done?
Move on while he's doing that.
Now, we've been wondering for a few weeks if Jose Mourinho is going to do the honourable thing and oust Ten Hag. Manchester United. Well, according to German publication Bild, or Bilge, as I like to call it, he's been learning German and would be very keen to take charge of Bayern Munich.
Yeah, I mean...
Harry Kane... Oh, Gordon.
Just when I thought I was out, they dragged me back in. Harry Kane, imagine this, right? Harry Kane gets his dream move to Bayern Munich,
right,
having never really won anything in his career, and he ends the season
second,
trophyless, with Jose Mourinho as his manager.
Oh, my goodness.
It don't get no better.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, of course, Bayern were beaten, smashed, you could say, by Bayer Leverkusen.
Oh, they were 3-0. Smashed, totally smashed.
Bayer Leverkusen under Alonso.
So good.
I mean,
so good.
He's done there. Granit Xhaka, can't believe his luck.
Go, and if you haven't watched any of it, go and watch the highlights if you haven't got time to watch the whole game.
Different gravy granules.
It was incredible to see. It was just amazing to witness, because it was a real litmus test, and they just. They just brushed them aside. They weren't even there by
But
minute.
It is mad, though, isn't it, how Harry Kane, who's been playing really well for Bayern, scored tons of goals, etc., etc. Bayern have won the league title in Germany every year since 1952, right? Mm.
And that's a fact.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, the Bundesliga was definitely still definitely there in 1952 as well. Bayern Leverkusen is going to win the league.
Yeah, they're 5 points. I think they're five points clear. Yeah.
Anyway. Yeah. Well, there's a special OTC Reacts out this morning with the twinkly eyed Andy Brassel and the brilliant Archie Rindtut all about that game. Incredibly, Bayern only managed one shot on target in a Bundesliga game for the first time in 8 years. So to hear more about the brilliant Xabi Alonso's Bayer Leverkusen revolution, just search on the continent and hit subscribe. Right, back to the Premier League. Luton Town 1, Sheffield United 3.
Didn't see that one coming.
No.
Sheffield United's first away win of the season, which Chris Wilder did say, you know, it's ridiculous that it's come in February, but they've got it. They're 7 points behind Luton, of course, who remain in 17th, but Luton will be pig sick because this was a real chance for them.
Any sandwiches? Any celebratory sandwiches being eaten in Chris Wilder's presence, do we know?
Evidently not, because he seems to be quite happy with...
if he's got anything about him, he would just celebrate with a massive... You know that picture, that famous picture of when, I think it was 5 or 6 years ago, when the team won the Super Bowl and they get invited to the White House.
Right.
And normally they get a reception and all this kind of stuff. And Donald Trump just got them all a load of McDonald's.
Right.
And it's the biggest McDonald's order you ever see on like a load of tables in some reception room in the White House.
Right. Yeah.
Chris Wilder should have done that with a load of sandwiches.
Yeah.
And then said after the game, everyone come enjoy, have a sandwich, but also invite the referees as well and make a joke out of it. Then he would have rescued his reputation as being an angry old bastard.
Do you think Chris Wilder's humour sort of reaches to those?
No.
It doesn't reach anywhere. I would say...
it doesn't reach anywhere.
Why is nobody... Presumably someone was dressed, some wag would have been dressed as a sandwich.
Should have been.
Crowd,
or a hot dog. Surely, like a hot dog. Tim Robinson.
Yes. Hot dog man, yeah.
Yeah, should have done that, but they didn't.
Well, a lot of opportunities missed, not just for Luton.
Is a sandwich?
Yeah, it's a sandwich. Meat and bread is fine.
Yeah, man,
burger's a sandwich.
You don't think of it as a sandwich.
Well, it's a hot dog sandwich, isn't it? Because the hot dog is the sausage.
In the US, a lot of people call burgers a sandwich.
A beef sandwich. A hot beef sandwich.
Type of sandwich.
When your doctor says, what do you usually eat? I eat a lot of sandwiches.
Yeah, I do that.
Why is your cholesterol so high?
Yeah,
mainly.
Cholesterol.
Have you been smart on me? Marcus, is it fair to say that you are well and truly a member of the Ross Barkley off the plane now? After that,
I think you can judge him on that.
It's a setback, though, isn't it?
It is a bit of a setback. Yeah.
Sometimes you need a player like that playing in a rather unfashionable side to lift the England team.
I don't think the Hatters are unfashionable.
I think they're the most fashionable, unfashionable side. Yeah.
Listen, all I'm saying is if he carries on like this, Marcus, you may not agree with this based on what you were saying earlier.
He's going to be pushing a trolley.
If Ross Barkley carries on like this, he may find it very hard to keep Jude Bellingham at the England side.
Yeah, no, it's definitely what
you're not rising to that one? You're not rising to that one.
Not at the moment.
I like...
What about...
Here's what I like about it. No, forget it. Here's what I like about it.
Sorry.
Sheffield United, away from home, playing a 5-4-1 and getting their scraps.
Damn right.
And 3-1 win off the scraps is lovely stuff. Mm.
Well, I wanted to mention Cameron Archer.
Okay, yeah.
He's played for England at under-20 and under-21 level.
Yeah.
With that kind of pace.
Sang sleeping satellite.
He took his goal superbly.
Yeah.
He looked like the fastest player in the Prem. Oh, I know that's old Mickey van der Ven at the moment.
Yeah.
But it was a bit sort of, if you remember the Gareth Bale goal he scored for Real Madrid against Barcelona, it might have been in the Copa del Rey final, if my memory serves me well, where he kind of ran off the pitch to get past the defender and takes a bit of a heavy
long
touch.
Long way round, yeah.
But the heavy touch didn't matter because he was so quick.
Yeah.
It just helped him get up speed.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Well, Archer's touch was better and his finish was very good. But there was an element of that, the way... I mean, the defenders perhaps should have done a touch better. But Archer, he's exactly what you need to get everybody going. But they were great value for the victory, you have to say. Mason Holgate and Jaden Bogle and Ahmed Hodžić at the back, 27 clearances between them, 19 of them were headers, proper old school stuff.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
We talked about Luton playing direct.
Yeah.
And if you're Chris Wilder and you're Sheffield United, and we know that from previous seasons in the Premier League, Chris Wilder's got a bit of tactical nous about him. We've been impressed with his overlapping centre-halves and all that kind of stuff, if you remember that. So we don't want to reduce him to this. But let's be honest, if you are playing against a team that's direct, that was in the Championship last season with you, you think to yourself, right, lads, you know what you're doing here.
Yeah. Mm.
So we focused a lot on Luton, and Luton found themselves in a position where people were saying, oh, well, they should be okay here. well, Chris Wilder and the boys had other ideas. You know?
Well, which is sickening for Luton because they've been in better form. Yeah. They had an extraordinary amount of the ball from what I saw at home to Sheffield United, but it didn't translate at all to anything near a win. I mean, they got beaten fairly handily. So, I mean,
maybe they're just not used to it. They're not used to having the ball.
Well, maybe. I just think they'll be desperate for it not to halt their momentum, basically, now. But I don't think it's anything more than a kind of, you know, a sticking plaster on Sheffield United season. Let's be absolutely fair about that.
Well, Chris Wilder, I mean, he said after that loss against Aston Villa, you know, he said, you know, that will still hang around for a while, but we've got to do work to eventually get rid of it. He said they needed to do 2 weeks' work after that one. But he was very pleased and he said, with regards to the decisions which the referee made, I mean, there was a couple of contentious...
There was a very difficult handball in that game. Wasn't there? It was like a kind of...
Penalties were given for handballs. I mean,
the one I'm thinking about...
Edwards felt that neither should have been given.
There was one I was thinking of where the ball was just kind of... It seemed to just ricochet around and hit the guy's arm in the air if he was jumping to win a header.
Yeah.
And I don't want to see that as a penalty.
No, I don't think anybody does, really. As I say, Edwards thought neither were penalties. But Wilder said of this, he said, look, I'll pick the bones out of it tonight after I've had about 6 points on the way home.
Oh, showing off.
Oh, fancy.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Did you think he is Pete Donaldson?
I don't know. But, well, clearly, because Pete and Chris Wilder must have drivers.
Yeah. And Pete doesn't have a driver.
That's right, yeah. Not now.
No.
Not these days. Well, speaking of VAR and controversy and all that kind of stuff, in the Forest Newcastle game, did you see that one of the Forest staff got booked for waving an iPad with the replay of an incident at the fourth official?
Imagine like pre-VAR, that would have been like, your club would probably be really heavily fined because you're not allowed to show like contentious decisions in the stadium, could you?
Do you reckon
you didn't cite a riot?
Anthony Taylor's just more of a Samsung Galaxy man. He's more of a Google Pixel guy.
He's a Amazon Fire.
Yeah, it could be.
Tablet.
It could be a Kindle Fire, yeah.
Tricky one for the fourth because he's thinking, well, I wouldn't mind to see him. But no, I can't look.
I mustn't gaze upon it.
It's a brilliant game, by the way.
It was. Another brilliant game. If Newcastle start to sort of figure out that their fixtures are pretty decent from now until the end of the season, they've played all the big guns.
Yep.
And they've only really, I think, got Arsenal left, I think.
They have away, yeah.
They could be in really, really good...
But they don't look in control of the games, do they?
No, just it's entertaining stuff, yeah, it really is.
How doesn't like that comparison?
No, it was tough shit then.
Well, defend better.
So, yeah, stop doing it then.
You've got no excuses now. Your defenders are back, so
imagine if one of the journalists said that. You don't like the comparison. No, I don't really. And these are the... Well, defend better then.
Yeah. Just be better at it then.
Stop being like the person you don't want to be compared to then.
Stop wearing the clown clothes.
Bruno Guimarães scored a goal... Almost two exactly like goals. Rodrigo Muñoz scored for Fulham against Bournemouth, where he ghosts around at the back stick, no one saw him, and he smashed it in. It's a lovely
goal. Did you hear what he said when he celebrated in front of the fans, and he said that he remembered that he was on like 9 yellow cards or whatever the threshold is for the ban.
Right.
And he said, I was going to dive into the crowd, and I thought, oh no, I remember, I don't want another yellow card.
Huh.
You'll get it in the next match, Bruno.
I thought, surely that's the way to do it.
I thought it was a great run. I thought Forrest should have had a Pinola late on as well.
Yeah.
Controversial one. I'll tell you what I was well impressed by as well, apart from Guimarães and his two goals. Anthony Elanga's pace for his goal.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
That was unbelievable afterburners.
Yeah.
It was Carl Walker-esque.
Yeah, Elanga's
between defenders. But
they've missed him over the season, him and Awoniyi being out.
Yeah.
So they've missed them both.
Yeah. Obviously being a Newcastle fan myself.
Oh, yeah.
Watching the.
Do you support Newcastle?
The lack of protection that the midfield are affording the defenders at the moment for stuff like the Elanga.
Gibbers too busy getting goals, mate.
Yeah, but people are enjoying it. Why are you being such a hater?
I just think Lewis Miley shouldn't be in there.
Oh, that's outrageous.
Ruining a young man's, young Englishman's career.
I know you have a very, very contentious relationship with teenagers, but come on.
That's outrageous.
He's 17 and he's basically...
Shouldn't be there.
Playing for Newcastle the White Forest is basically ruining his childhood. Is that what you're saying?
It's ruining his career.
What ruined your childhood at 17?
Not being Lewis Miley.
I would say it's the advent of the internet.
Oh yeah,
I was trying to think when you were in the Scouts, but had you left by then?
17's not in the Scouts.
No, I was going to say
that's what's after the Scouts?
Venture
Mega Scouts, yeah.
Venture Scouts.
Okay.
Venture
you didn't go for that.
Didn't go for that.
Yeah, okay.
And they blotted
their experiences.
They blotted their copybook.
Yeah.
on a stage.
It's fine to joke about it, isn't it?
It's fine to joke about it.
Yeah. What's wrong with having a bit of banter about it, eh?
Yeah.
Well, you started this.
Don't look at us like this, Speller.
Oh, look at him.
Yeah.
Like he's trying to shuffle out of it. Like he started the whole thing.
Right. Yeah,
there we go.
Oh, I hear Warnock's having a good time.
90 goals in Newcastle United's games this season. 90.
Too much. Too many.
And Eddie Howe's got the cheek. Eddie Howe's got the bare-faced cheek to say, I don't want to be referred to as that.
We don't want to entertain.
No.
Eddie, you are enjoying it.
You're entertaining both fans wherever you go.
Exactly.
Enjoy it.
And that's why we love you and Mr. Tindall.
Yeah.
Thank you very much for listening to the Football Ramble, part of the Acast Creator Network. Join Luke and Andy tonight for Ramble Reacts after Crystal Palace versus Chelsea.
Oh, yeah, I forgot I'm doing that.
Yeah.
Well, I hope it's not a crap game again.
Okay, really sell it
really
to them.
Really sell it.
Look, I'll sell it into you. It could be a great game. If it is, it's well worth listening to Ramble Reacts with me and Andy. If it's a shit game, it gives me raw room to give Andy some pelters. So there's always something to listen
Andy
to.
Andy can find something good in every match, though,
And I can find something to poke at Andy after every match.
There we are. Yeah. Do follow us on X, which was once known as Twitter.
Will we be known as Twitter again?
I often say Twitter, currently known as X, because I think this
it's a flash in the pan.
Yeah, I love it. I love X. I love the ladies that appear under every tweet.
I'm very popular with the ladies since Elon Musk took over. My tweets.
Why are you slagging off Elon Musk when yesterday he gave everyone $1,000 incentive to buy a Tesla automobile?
Did he really?
Right.
Yeah, so people don't buy cars in the winter, so I'm going to give you $1,000 incentive to buy one.
Oh. Those cars are like 40 grand, aren't they?
Yeah. He also sent like a 10-year-old meme saying send nudes. 52 years old,
good
he is.
Stuff.
Yeah. 52.
Yeah. What a man, hey?
I know,
what a man. What an achievement. He might be buying Disney.
Yeah. Well, really?
Apparently so.
That'll go well.
Yeah. What else can he
ruin? He's just going to buy stuff up that he personally doesn't like.
He's going to buy like the World Cup. Oh, anyway. Yeah. YouTube and Instagram are also on, @FootballRamble. Follow us on Spotify as well. Tune in to hear Luke and Annie talk about what will be a very, very exciting game.
Roy Hodgson's last game in charge, probably, or Mauricio Pochettino's, depending on, pick your poison.
Tell you what.
It's like a WWE retirement match.
Loser leaves town.
They might be in a big cage, who knows?
There we are. Thank you, Luke Moore.
See ya.
Thank you, Pete Donaldson.
Goodbye.
Thank you, everybody. See you soon.
Marcus, would you like to hear a review, the only review of the foam penis, the magic foam penis on Amazon?
Found one online.
You know, like drop shippers have an obsession with finding the one item that isn't sold anywhere.
Yeah.
Because they can make loads of money out of
it.
There is only one purveyor of magic foam penises on Amazon.
Right.
So that's a real kind of like, that's got to be a nascent or burgeoning market.
This could be your new infant chip bowl helmet.
I could be the sponge penis millionaire.
You could be.
Well,
I'll tell you because it was my review.
Well, it's from Thomas Dorr, 1 star.
How many?
5. I got 4 orders.
Right, you bought 4 of them. Yeah.
All the balls fell off the penises. I had to glue them back on.
Yeah.
Glue.
How much?
We're just 1 star. I don't know how much.
Oh, that's the review, is it?
The spinach penis, they are.
How much they retail for?
They are. There's no price.
See, I think maybe the one, as I did stipulate, it's in Cuba.
Yeah.
And maybe the old communist penises, they hold together.
Or maybe he just made it himself before he left the house.
the
what are you doing? You're going to be late. Give me a minute.
The Football Ramble is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
I'm Ina Garten. Welcome to Be My Guest, the podcast. One of the best gifts you can give friends is spending time together. But what's even better than that? Cooking with them. On Be My Guest, the podcast, new friends and old stop by my barn for some conversation and great cooking. We talk about food, life, and everything in between. Listen to Be My Guest, the podcast with me, Ina Garten, and join us wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.